Just another pause. It's the news. Pause. According to me. Good Thursday morning. It just keeps going more and more. Just, the days just keep going by. May 9th, 7:18 a.m. 2024. Eastern Standard Time, by the way. 2024. The year's almost over. Next thing you know, it's going to be June. The sixth month of the year, which is halfway through, which basically means it's pretty much over. You round up after that. So it's, I am your host this morning. Your 30-minute podcast. I'm going to try to keep these at 30. I can't keep them at 30 minutes. I talk too long. I do have another appointment this morning, though, that's going to help. It's amazing how you get on vacation and you fill your schedule up with all kinds of stuff to do. I have to go to the doctor this morning. Part of my six-month regular checkup that I do. Anyway, the how pleasant. Yeah, I'm glad I have medical health care. I'm glad I have health care. But I have to pay for it, but I'm glad I have it. I'm fine with paying for it. What I don't like is paying for somebody else's. Unless I want to. I don't want to. So there you go. In my cup, I have chai. My chai is chai. My regular. But what's interesting is the backup cup this morning. I have, it was going to be apple cider. I was getting ready to pour it. I got it out. I was ready to pour it. And I was like, you know what? I got another cup in there. It's already got something in it. And what's in it? Because I'm out of sweet tea, by the way. I have to make some more. I have Celsius Tropical Vibe in my cup here, which is okay. That's okay. It's not really, I'm not supposed to drink a lot of it. It's a big deal. It's got, I think one can has the amount of caffeine of two cups of coffee. Yeah, okay. And the big deal. Notice you don't ever hear anything about how much caffeine is in a Pepsi. Well, but you do hear how much caffeine is in a cup of coffee. Well, it's like drinking two cups of coffee. Okay, well, I've had strong coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I've heard there's strong coffee. There's light coffee. Is that two, shots of milk, whatever they call it, the little bitty cups that have like a huge amount of caffeine in them. I don't know. I just don't know. Needless to say, but there are a lot of things that are happening. Let's just jump right into this stuff. I didn't have any weird dreams last night. I got a lot of living to learn. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt though, I think. Yeah. Something an old grumpy man like me would walk around saying. I have a couple of things. I'm going to start right in with this whole thing with Kathy Holcomb. Kathy Holcomb, and I want you to hear it coming from right from her mouth, because this is about as blatantly. I don't know. Does she actually believe this, or is she just playing into the narrative, saying that the whole, have they stretched the narrative to the point where? First of all, these are people in your area. Let's just listen to what she has to say here before I get too deep into the weeds. She makes this comment that this just blows me away. Someone would comment like this. But here she is.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions,
she thinks.
kids in the Bronx don't know what the word computer is? These are people in your area. What are you? Is the education system that bad? Now, was she talking about kids that are like 1 year old? Never heard of a computer. Are you telling me there are kids? Well, we need to have a task force that goes into the Bronx and just, this is Bronx or Harlem, wherever she said, and just explains what a computer is to these kids. The word computer is apparently. This is one of the most. It's like, well, that's poor kids are just as smart, just as capable as white kids. This is the kind of thing that these people say that just shows that racism is at the core of everything that they're about. Now, you might not want to call it racism. There's this thing called racialism, and I think it's probably more accurate in some ways. They use race to manipulate and to do all kinds of propaganda pushing stuff. It's just one thing after another with these people, and I think that's probably more accurate. It's not. And of course, what they accuse the right of all the time is racism. Every time you say something that's racially related, you're a racist. Well, it's not racism. Racism, by its definition, typically, racism has more to do with hating someone else or having superior opinion. Thinking that you're superior to them or whatever, that's racism. That racial classes are different, you know, that's racism. By, you know, prejudice, that kind of prejudice bias. Prejudice is actually more. This idea that all black kids are just poor little kids that don't have any education. Don't have anything, don't have any money, they're poor, they're all poor. Don't even know what the word computer is. And we need their input for innovation. I don't know about you, but if I've got to explain to somebody what a computer is, not sure I want them inputting too many high-tech solutions into my situation. I don't care what color their skin is. I think the public school system has let them down. And what happened to all the remote learning during the last couple of years? I mean, talking about people less than 4 years old, because that's, you know, everybody was on a computer 4 years ago in school, all learning from home. Maybe Kathy Hochul doesn't understand what a computer is. She's the governor of New York. And you're telling me your education system is that bad. And it's not like you just came into office from some other administration. This was your administration. You were the, what was it, the lieutenant governor or whatever she was. Cuomo. Chris's brother, who has been again back on the news, rewriting history, telling everybody that, people wouldn't be as compliant today as they were, in 2020. But nobody trusts the government now. Fewer people trust the government now because of what happened in 2020. Really? You were the one who imposed all the baloney. made it mandatory that people wear masks and all that. And then he claims he could request that people wear masks and he could request that people get the shot, but he couldn't make people do anything. And yeah, he forced people to do that, by the way. You can't attend school. You can't do this. You can't do that. The government workers were forced to do things. But he claims that he couldn't make anybody do anything. Well, you couldn't physically hold him down and put the shot in him. But you could coerce them, threaten them with their job or threaten them with no education. These people are just, like I said yesterday, do fascists even know that they're fascists? Do they understand what fascism is? And my guess is the left, just in general, does not have any self-awareness. I was reading a comment the other day on a YouTube post, and this person was saying how they were listening to this thing, and this guy was talking about the far right, and back, I think I mentioned it. One of the interesting comments that came back from that, well, there's like 27 comments on the one thing I said. At least the last time I checked, there's probably more than that now. And one of the comments was, as I was writing this, I realized I'm kind of a hypocrite because when I think of a radical leftist, I think of a blue-haired whatever. You're pretty much right. You're correct on that. But it was interesting that they had enough. But this you could tell this was a conservative person saying this. They had enough self-awareness to know that they may need to be to change their paradigm here a little bit, and they may need to actually look at this from all angles. Because really, radical leftists, the radical leftists are really socialists. They're not Democrats in the traditional sense, but the Democrat Party has been overrun. It's gone. The traditional Democrat, and that's why traditional Democrats are leaving the Democrat Party. Look at Robert F. Kennedy. I would consider Jr. RFK Jr., I believe, is a traditional Democrat. I would still not vote for him. I think I have a lot more respect for him, though. He's honest about what he believes. He does, however, he does have some pretty radical opinions, and he goes right along. He pretty much reads right into the Democrat platform, but the Democrats have rejected him. They've canceled him simply because he is an anti-vaxxer. Wacko, anti-vaxxer. They had a candidate right there that probably could have won. If they'd got behind the guy and supported him and not mentioned anything about the anti-vax stuff and just let that slide like they do everything else with Joe Biden, they literally probably would have had a candidate that would have been pretty tough against Trump. As it is, in every poll that's been taken now, in all the swing states, when you throw in Bobby Kennedy Jr., guess what happens? Trump is a landslide victory. He's still ahead of Biden, just in a one-on-one. But again, I contend, and I don't even like to bring him up in the polls necessarily because I don't think Joe Biden's going to be in the November ticket. I just don't think he's going to be in the ticket. And if he is, here's how I see it playing out. The powers that be behind the scenes, the ones who are calling the shots, the deep state, whatever you're going to call them, the administrative state, the Democrat Party, they're all in cahoots with each other. This has been well documented that they have conversations, that they have communications between each other, that they are, one and the same. They're just two different arms of the same body. Media is another arm. It has three arms. Or maybe the Democrat Party is the body and whatever. It's a Frankenstein thing. This monster that they've created. So in the middle of all this, you have a cat climbing my wall. Okay, so let's say they run Joe Biden, knowing full well he's going to lose. This will be by design. If they let Joe Biden be on the ticket in November, which I don't think is going to happen. But if it is, then that means something deeper is going on. If Joe Biden is on that ticket in November, there is something more nefarious going on. First of all, if he wins, there's something extremely wrong. There's something very wrong. We've lost the country. We've lost our ability to vote, because this is not going to happen again. Now, what could be happening, and one of the things that could cause that to happen, regardless of who the candidate is, there's a whistleblower now that I just talked to Tucker last night, I believe, and she's making the allegation that everything is being set up for these people that are coming across the border so that they will not be able to distinguish whether or not they are legal citizens or not, and they can vote. In most states, they can vote without voter ID. Now, the problem is they're getting IDs. And in many districts, they will be allowed to vote regardless of whether they have an ID or whether they're citizens or not. All they have to do is show their ID and it shows an address, and they just can vote whatever they want to do, even if they're not on the rolls. They're supposed to check the voter roll. They're going to let them vote. And in this, you've got millions of them. And they have strategically been placing them in different places in the country, especially in swing states and red states. States that they know they got locked up, they don't really care. Now, they're having a problem with that, though, right now, because New York is in play. They've kept Trump captive there for the last how many months because of all these trials. And he goes out on the street, meets people, campaigns. He knows New York. He's been all over New York. He knows what's going on. Buys the fireman pizza, walks in carrying pizzas. Got pizza for everybody. Takes a break and goes out and buys people Chick-fil-A. He's feeding everybody. Out of his own pocket, by the way. And now the judge is threatening to throw him in jail because he's violating the gag order. So now what he's doing. This is Trump. I don't know who gave him this idea. He's probably his own idea. He can't talk about the trial, but he can talk about what other people are saying about the trial. So what he's doing, he's going out and quoting MSNBC and CNN and all the stuff they're saying about the trial. And some of the pundits that are out there. So he's not, this is what people are saying about the trial. He's not saying it. Once in a while, I say, I agree with that. That's brilliant. I'm not saying anything about the trial. I'm just saying what other people are saying about the trial. I was talking to a friend of mine about my age. Actually, it was during some training I was doing, and said something about limitations on this one machine. You know, you can't do a 90-degree turn beyond a certain speed. And I said, well, you can do 245s. He loved that. He's like, that's exactly, because he was like, yeah, now you're talking my language. That's the way we do things around here. Because the limitation specifically said 90 degrees. Well, I'm not doing a 90 degree turn. I'm doing 245s. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I, and yet Nobody died. So we have Trump going through this whole thing. I'll just jump right into the Trump cases right now. Jack Smith has been he's being found out up one side and down. And of course, now you'll never hear this on MSNBC or CNN because he's their hero. When this guy came out, first announced what he was doing, I still remember the day I heard him stand behind the podium and start talking about how he's, you know, these indictments that they were throwing out for Trump. I could tell by the way the guy was talking. And again, this just comes back to listening to someone speak. This guy was way beyond, he's pitching way out of his league. He has no confidence whatsoever. He was standing there as scared as can be in what he was saying. He didn't like what he was doing. Apparently doesn't like public speaking, but he also didn't have any confidence whatsoever in what he was saying. He was motivated simply by rage and by his desire to be the guy who gets Trump. In the background, now he's being found out that there's been all kinds of, well, first of all, jury manipulation, jury tampering, they're getting him on. Because he's promising somebody on the jury some things. There's also been other back channel stuff that's gone on that has obviously been perpetrated by him and just a lot of, then the other thing is he's not a legal special counsel. He's not even qualified to be special counsel. He can't do it. Not in the form he's in. The Fannie Willis thing is continuing to go on. And of course, now that's been, she could probably still end up being dumped and lose her license completely. She's in jeopardy big time because of the lies she's told. Now, when I hear her talk, this sounds like a junior high kid that has been caught, knows they've been caught, and they're trying to come up with an excuse. You can hear it in her voice. It's just, again, it comes back to the confidence in her speech and her ability to talk. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's this weakness in the back. There's no support in their voice. There's nothing solid there. This is a child who's been caught, who's trying to defend themselves in the middle of the line. It's like a kid with chocolate all over their face saying, "No, I didn't eat cake. I didn't eat the cake. No, I didn't eat cake. No." Knowing full well they ate the cake. And everybody knows they've ate the cake. Really takes the cake. That's the kind of, when she talks, that's what she sounds like. At least that's what I hear. She has no business being in that position. They're talking about giving the this is in Fulton County, so basically Atlanta, Georgia. And so they're talking about giving this to another judge or giving it to another prosecutor. Well, the other prosecutor, this is a wild card. The prosecutor could just drop it. Say this is just a ridiculous case and just drop it. The reason they picked Fannie is because she was willing to go along with it. They couldn't find just anybody to do it. Fannie met with the White House. She went to D.C. and met with Garland, whatever his name is, Merrick Garland. And I believe, as well as Kamala Harris, I believe she met with her as well. Kristi Noem is under some serious scrutiny. Apparently everybody's saying, oh, she can't be the VP now. I don't think that matters. She had this book written for her again. Ghostwriter, and she failed to actually read the book, apparently. And it unless this was like a first draft of the book or something, and this happened to get out in the public view. Because it says something about her meeting with Kim Jong-un, or whatever the guy is now, the leader of North Korea, and the conversation that went on there. And so she... Apparently that's in the book, or it was in the book. It's been edited out. I don't know. She's claiming I've had many meetings with many world leaders, but I don't talk about what I, you know. But she won't answer the question of whether or not she met with Kim. She's just making it worse. She's just come out and say, no, this is a ghostwriter put that in there. It didn't happen. And it's my fault for not catching it. Most people have any sense of respect for anything. Understand, you don't go. This is the same thing Mike Pence did. Mike Pence did not write his book. You sit down with the writer, they interview you, you do all kinds of things, and they pretty much record everything you're saying. They go through the whole thing, and then they come up with this book in the middle of it. The ghostwriter is really the writer of the book. Everybody knows this. Well, most people do. But they parade it around as if they were sitting down at a typewriter writing this book. It doesn't happen. And I guarantee you, I mean, I'm working on it. I'm actually doing it. And it ain't easy. It takes a lot of time. Mark Dice writes his own books. There are people who write their own books. It is a long, arduous process, and it takes discipline to do it. Now, some of these big-time, big-name writers, the ones who are out doing interviews on Tonight Show and everything else that they're doing, they probably have a team of people helping, because otherwise they'd be sitting down. They wouldn't have time to do any of these shows. They wouldn't have time to travel around, be in the news, because guess what? Like Brian Kilmeade writes a book about every 3 months. Who's the guy that got fired from Fox? I really don't like him. He's kind of a New Yorker type guy too. People like him because he thought he had an attitude, or they just liked his straightforward attitude. He's actually as much of an establishment guy as anything. Happens to kind of quasi support Trump a little bit. Bill O'Reilly. He writes a book. Killing Lincoln, killing this, killing that. He had this whole series of books that came out. I think it was like every couple months he was coming out with a new book. You don't have a radio. He still has a radio show, by the way. He has like a snippet radio show. Plus, he does a podcast and something else. And you don't do that and have the material and do all that on your own, and then write books like this every 2 months, 2 or 3 months. It doesn't happen. But there is a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes with these books as well, which is, it's also rather disturbing. Another case, the Stormy Daniels case, for instance. Avenatti says he was just interviewed the other day, came out in an interview that he claims that back in June he was approached by someone who's doing a documentary on Stormy Daniels. And they wanted to know if he wanted to participate in it. Well, he basically said he started asking them some questions because he wanted to find out whether there was any integrity in this thing, surprisingly enough. What he was concerned about was whether or not he was going to get sued for being in it. Very careful about what he does now with this whole case. What happened, he asked the question, the very first question he says he asked was, is she being paid for it? Because he says a lot about whether the thing has any integrity or not. I said, well, yeah, we're paying her for it because she has a lot of bills that she has to pay because she lost that. Most people don't realize she lost a lawsuit with Donald Trump. She owes him a bunch of money now, which is the whole reason that Avenatti's in prison, was that whole thing, the way that thing blew up. Didn't hear much about that on MSNBC, did you? Realizing that Stormy Daniels actually owes him money. So now they're claiming that, well, we have to pay her for this documentary. See, what they wanted to do was just pay off the judgment, but they couldn't do that. That would be illegal. So they're paying her for the documentary and paying her for her, I think there's going to be a book as well. They're giving her all kinds of advances on this stuff. the documentary probably will never go anywhere, but it's a way they can launder the money through a legitimate looking thing. It's the dirtiest way to convert money that there is. It's just this kind of stuff happens all the time with book sales and everything else that goes on. This kind of stuff. So when you hear about, you know, Hunter Biden selling his artwork for hundreds of thousands of dollars, has he produced any, has he done any sales lately? Has he made any paintings lately? I'd be painting every day if I was making that kind of money painting. Whatever happened to Hunter? Where's Hunter at? I just haven't seen him on the campaign trail. I haven't seen him in the news anywhere. Keeping that guy locked up somewhere in a closet. Probably a good idea. I haven't heard any congressman, nobody's asking questions about Hunter anymore. Nobody's talking about the laptop. Nobody's talking about anything. Where'd that story go? Hope it's not in the news cycle right now. It just amazes me how this stuff works. The political theater that we're living in. There are a few other things I want to talk about, but the show's getting a little long. There have been some things said. Wacky, crazy stuff being said that talk about a little bit more tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the hour-long show, by the way, and it probably will be from the worldwide headquarters. That's the plan at this point. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to go. Still have to try to squeeze an eye appointment in here one of these days, so we'll just have to see how that works out. That could be tomorrow. But tomorrow might be a kind of a crazy day, but we'll see how it goes. Kind of depends on what the weather does today. I'm trying to put in a parking area on my alongside my garage, my driveway, and got my backhoe running. Got it out there. I was playing around with it yesterday, and I got to use that thing a little bit. And then we got the Bobcat. I don't know what's going on with the Bobcat. Got to get that thing started. Just on and on. So I got that kind of stuff to play with tomorrow, or today actually, so I can get ready for tomorrow, because I'm going to have a bunch of rock brought in, about 20 tons. Anyway, enough about my life and my fun times. It is, we press on, I guess, is what we do in the midst of all this stuff. There's a lot of other things that have been leaking out, coming out about all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes with the lawsuits, with the campaign, the Democrats, what they're doing. Jerry Nadler made some really interesting, stupid comments the other day about the Second Amendment. Tried to quote it, couldn't quote it. Yeah, he was corrected by Massey. It's a classic moment. Lots of crazy things. Have some more sound bites tomorrow. Possibly be a live broadcast, including a video on Rumble. We'll see how this goes today, how that's going to work out for tomorrow. Pray for the nation. Pray for each other. Folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day. Take care.